welcome to DNF One. Hello and welcome back for part two of our season review. In this half of the show, we're going to actually be talking about all the teams, all 10 teams, their performance for the year, their driver lineup for the up and coming year, and then at the end we'll have some predictions / 2021 end of season headlines, favourite tracks and driver of the year. So first of all, Derek, I'm going to come to you. Williams, they finished 10th on 0 points for the season, unfortunately. Russell was 18th with 3 points, picked up those 3 points while he was in the Mercedes, so it didn't help Williams. Latifi, 21st on 0 points. Obviously, we had more than 20 drivers because of people that came in and replaced, Hülkenberg and Aitken, Fittipaldi. So that's how they finished. Russell in 18th, Latifi in 21st. But they do have new owners. So moving forward, Derek, Williams...
I think their overall performance of the year was good. You know, the major steps forward. I think they've taken major steps forward. I mean, the car was never going to be anything brilliant this year. They were always on the back foot from the start of the year anyway. I think the bit that they lent Russell out to Mercedes has given them a good chunk of development for next year. I reckon there will have been, you know, we'll let you have Russell back, but we need a better engine and a little bit more performance in the engine, so on and so forth. So, but overall, I would say if we're going to give them sort of marks and scores, I would say they were a D. And I think next year they could be top of the bottom. Which it sounds a little bit silly that, but top of the bottom for next year. And as regards the drivers, I think the driver lineup will stay the same for next year, as it's been confirmed, unless something happens between now and Australia. So,
well, Derek, the year after, I think some of the credit's got to be given to Russell against his performance at Latifi in qualifying, and we've seen over the space of the season that he has effectively consistently gotten it into Q2, which in the past, Williams, that just wasn't happening. It was only by a fluke or an accident that would actually get into Q2, but it has been Mr. Saturday. Unfortunately, in the race pace, it's not been as good. Paul, it's kind of one of these things where obviously Williams have underperformed, but it's where they're at. But there is green shoots of growth. How do you what's your take on Williams for the year?
I think it's been a decent year. I think Russell's performances in qualifying have been excellent. I think they've made an improvement. Hopefully that will continue on into next year. And like Derek, I can see them not being last. Maybe, yeah, best of the lesser teams at the bottom.
E through EF on performance, would you give them D the same as Derek? Or
Yeah, I think that D's probably where they are.
I think it'd be a shame to give Williams an F, because I think actually the car was the dog of the pack, and even though it's got the Merc in the back, between their appointments, the new investment, the new owners, sadly we've lost obviously the Williams family from running the team, but I think actually for the team's continued existence, it was the only way they could go, and I think that's part of the reason Williams actually... or the Williams family sold it, was to make sure that their employees and the company actually kept going. As Derek said there, it's same drivers for next season. Russell, I think they've got for the last year of his contract, Latifi, but certainly Russell is their secret weapon, and I think actually if they've put any performance into this car for the upcoming season, we could see them scoring their first point in what must be 2 years. So fingers crossed for Williams, and roll on 22 for Williams. Next, Paul, I'll come to you on Haas. 9th in the championship, 3 points. Grosjean, 19th in the championship. He got 2 points over the space of the season. Magnussen, 20th, with 1 point over the season. The drivers they're changing to, because Grosjean and Magnussen are both getting the boot out of the team. They've got Schumacher Jr. coming in, who won the F2 championship. And then we've got Mazepin, who I think will be the new bad boy of the sport, if you want to put it that way. But he's basically universally disliked between his recent social media posts and the general consensus I get from the internet and YouTube and so on. He's no well liked.
I believe there has been a rumoured update.
Ooh.
And it's going to be Fittipaldi in the car. Apparently, Marzipan has removed all reference to Haas off his website.
All right.
So it might only be a rumor, but I believe that is the latest
that we have
information that I had, that it's going to be Fittipaldi. They're going to give Fittipaldi the drive. And
I would rather that, but then Cal Milo,
because they've had so much, bad publicity from his actions. They might still bring him in later on,
but I believe
they're going to ask punishment. That's the thing. But I believe the time is not right for him to come through, and I believe they're going to stick with Fittipaldi along with Schumacher. So they're going to have two names in the team.
Paul, the problem that Haas seemed to have, and the drivers obviously alluded to this when they were finally told that they were leaving and stuff, they turned around and said to the press and stuff, this is, look, we can't drive the car. The rear end heats up way too much, and we're not just talking about the tyre. Well, the tyres are the end product. They're getting heated up as well, but the whole rear end of the car and suspension is overheating. And unfortunately, that is obviously bought in from Ferrari, and as we'll find, Ferrari and the Alfa Romeos, who both use Ferrari rear ends, obviously, they have not had the greatest of seasons either. Can you see Haas improving on this? They've said they're spending no money on it. How do you view Haas's performance for the year, Paul?
Well, the performances weren't very good, were they? Obviously, they've changed the drivers, but the car, there clearly was issues. I mean, Ferrari have got the issues. Haas, can I see them improving? No, I think they're one of the teams that will go backwards. I think Williams will finish above them. I mean, they've changed the drivers. The Mazepan thing, I have to say, I hope that rumour is true. Yeah. And that he isn't going to be driving next year. Other than that, I've not really got much else to say about him.
All I wanted to do was thank Paul for my early Christmas present he's just given me. It was very nice of him to see him bashing at Ferrari there. So I have to say thank you for the early Christmas. Of course, he was bashing Ferrari quite nicely there. And long may it continue into the new year. Sorry, I'll let you carry on there.
Look, the problem these teams have as a Ferrari supplied team is they've bought the back end off the Ferrari, which is overheating, and all the other teams that have got Ferrari stuff had that problem, but also the engine, which I think we'll speak more about once we actually get to Ferrari themselves, but we know that the engine is underpowered, so these teams, of course, we're going to have these problems. It's just a supply chain issue. I mean, if you're buying your Ferrari engine and it's a dog, then unfortunately you're not going to go anywhere. With them getting rid of Grosjean and Magnussen, Paul, do you think that's the right decision? Those two drivers, do you think they deserved another year?
No, I think they had a year too long, to be honest with you. I couldn't believe it when they gave them both the extension. Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Signed them on again. Massive surprise. So they were always going to get rid of them this year.
Do you think the new drivers will be able to do anything better? Because I genuinely think...
It depends on the car.
Yeah.
If the car's anything like it was this year, they're going to do absolutely nothing with it.
I've said in the past, I think Grosjean or Magnussen will turn up in another series. I think we'll actually see Magnussen's obviously going to America, either IndyCar, one of the American series. Grosjean, once he's healed, I can genuinely see him in LMP1 or something like that. I don't think these guys are bad drivers. I think it's bad cars. Grosjean got his act together, and I can see him, I've said it before, I can see him in a winning Le Mans team over the next 3 years or something. I think Grosjean's got that ahead of him. And it'll just go to show and prove that he's actually a decent driver. Derek, do you want to add anything else to Haas? And then I'll get your ratings for them. Keeping in mind that Haas have said that they weren't going to do anything with the car. So the lack of investment in the car was because of the rule change and budget caps. And they said they weren't going to throw money, good money after bad, I guess.
I think Haas will just be has-beens. You know, there'll be has-runs. Haas, you know.
Derek, try again. Every Haas pony.
Yeah, I think I get about, you know, they'll just be second-hand Ferraris, and that's about as good as it gets, because Ferrari will not give them as good as them, because they had enough embarrassment with Kimi Raikkonen in the Alfa Romeo beating them.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, but they can't say up to Kimi, because Kimi says, "Oh, no, you're good.
I think, yeah,
you know." And that's about as much as you get out of him. It wouldn't affect him at all. But
rating wise for the team, Derek, AAF.
E.
An E. Well, I think that's generous, Paul.
Yeah, I would go all the way down to F.
I'm going to see an F as well, Derek. I'm afraid it's an F plus.
That's an F. Yes.
Well, give them an F plus, and the reason is because I really like Haas. I like Gunther, and I think the team's actually they're trying to go in the right direction, but they don't have the funding. Formula One's blocked them a bit in the sense that it's taking up to this time. We mentioned it the first part. It's all to do with Formula One not giving these teams a chance. They're not giving them the money to actually spend because they can, you know. Schumacher coming in. If Ferrari are using them as a B team, I think that's great. Mazepin, if it is him, it's because his daddy's got money, and I really don't think he would last long even if he is in there, because his racecraft is pretty poor. His attitude to Formula One, or his attitude to everything, the press, etc., etc., is very arrogant, and it kind of reeks of someone that thinks he's entitled. And we've not really had anyone on the grid that I think actually, as soon as his first race was in, we would all dislike instantly. So hopefully it is a case of that Mazepin isn't racing for Haas next season. Do you think they can go forward? You've already said they'll probably go backwards, but next year with no investment, it's a moot question. I think Haas for 10th next season and no points. Although, you never know.
It's at 9th or 10th. 9th or 10th.
Do you think with Schumacher in the car, they might do a bit better? I mean, because that's the thing. We're like, well, Haas got to do nothing. But with Schumacher in the car, there's maybe some potential there. If
there's always a chance. There's always a chance with the Schumacher in your car.
With Ferrari hopefully coming away with a new engine that'll supply to them, and maybe a change in the rear suspension package, we never know. Watch this space. We come to Alfa Romeo. Derek, they finished 8th. They got 8 points, which is more than double Haas, and certainly a lot more than Williams. Kimi Räikkönen 16th with 4 points. Giovinazzi 17th with 4 points. It's the same lineup for next season. I think Giovinazzi mid-season got the hurry up, and he started to actually perform that bit better. Some results went their way. They were managed to get in and get some points, which, considering again it's a Ferrari engine, Ferrari rear end, they didn't seem to have the same struggles as Haas, and they did seem to be a lot more competitive. But Derek, how do you rate them? Where do you see them going?
I see them struggling next year. I think they've missed a beat by not changing the drivers. I think Giovinazzi, although he's improved and did do well in the last half of the season, I think he's had his day, and I may be kicking him out early, but I think they should have got rid of Räikkönen. No disrespect to Kimi. I mean, and it's nice that Kimi wants to carry on and keep driving, but I think there's plenty of young drivers out there that deserve a chance in an F1 car and that. But so with this lineup and these drivers, I don't see much of a challenge. And I would say they really stand a chance of coming behind Haas. Live update, are you ready?
Yep.
Haas F1 would like to reaffirm that Nikita Mazepin and Michael Schumacher will form its driver lineup for 2021.
Oh dear.
The 2021 World Championship, as per the team's previous statement regarding the actions of Nikita Mazepin on the December 9th. This matter has now been dealt with internally and no further comment shall be made. That's an official Haas statement, and it's all about money.
Yeah,
there you go.
Completely agree. That's so
that is an official...
You shouldn't be in the car.
Well, team statement from Haas.
If nothing else, it gives us somebody to hate on all season until he's out of the team. Yeah.
It's an instant boo boy for next year.
Yeah.
But still, I think that's wrong.
I think it's Formula wrong. I think they'll regret doing that, involved as but well. They want the money.
Yeah, because he's...
It's all about it. Yeah. He's only there in the first place because of money.
Yeah,
he's not there through talent. He's not earned that seat.
Nope.
He's bought his way in.
Back to Alfa Romeo. Kimi Räikkönen still in the team. Yeah. No, you're all right. Kimi Räikkönen still in the team, but as far as I was aware, part of the reason he's still there is he bought into that team. He is a part owner of it. I'm not entirely sure his percentage. I don't mind him being on the grid because I don't think the car's doing much, but I think actually as a character, when Kimi finally retires, finally, who knows when, it'll be a disappointment. But if Kimi's actually part-owned in that team, I think Derek's right that it's maybe blocking somebody coming through. However, if you've got the chops in the car, and we can see it wasn't that it was outperformed by Giovinazzi in any way, shape, or form, they would need somebody else in there to outperform and outscore him and outqualify him before he would maybe turn around and say, maybe I've had enough. But if he likes the lifestyle and he can afford it by being an owner or part owner of the team, then crack on. How do you look at Alfa Romeo, Paul?
I'd say the same as Derek. I think it's going to be a toss-up between them and Haas to who finishes last this year. Can't see where they're going to score points. Definitely think they'll be 9th or 10th.
With Alfa Romeo, we did see an improvement on the car. So I'll be honest, I can't diss them that much. They got an 8, and they were there or thereabouts. Better than obviously Haas and Williams, clearly because of where they finished. But the best of the C-class teams. How would you actually score them on our scale A to F?
F.
F, Derek.
I would have went D. I'd have went a D.
I'll plump in the middle and we'll call it an E. I think they developed the car, and to be fair, Giovinazzi got his finger out towards the latter half. But let's be honest, they're only fighting Haas and Williams. So if you finish above them, because this is the thing, this just goes to show the love that we have for Williams. Williams get a D and finish dead last with no points. And we've got Haas and Alfa Romeo.
But the thing is, Williams showed an improvement last year.
Yeah.
But the other two haven't.
No points, though. Points make prizes, you know? I'm not disagreeing with you, but it just goes to show that we have a bit more love for Williams. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing. I completely agree. Who's next? Oh, AlphaTauri. And this is where the gulf comes in. AlphaTauri finished 7th with 107 points, 99 points clear of 8th place. Gasly finished 10th with 75 points and Kvyat 14th with 32 points. Now, they have actually got Gasly in the car next season, but we've got Tsunoda coming in from what was Formula 2. He's pretty much a Honda-backed driver, and we'll come to the question mainly with Red Bull when we talk about the engines on Honda going forward and Red Bull's predicament. But as a team, with 107 points, 7th in the championship, they've got to be disappointed, but I feel it was the second half of the season they really picked up the pace, because up to the midway point, they were nowhere. The noise suddenly pulled it out. Paul, how do you rate AlphaTauri's season, the junior Red Bull team?
It seemed to get better as the season went on. Obviously, there was the win.
Yeah.
The win in there. But I think that was more being right place at the right time on that occasion. I don't think they've done that badly. I think they're pretty much where they should be finishing. I think they're definitely above the three teams we've just discussed. And I think they're just placed where they should be. I thought Gasly had an all right season.
Yeah, he should. Again, Kvyat, 14th with 32 points. He seemed to improve once they said, by the way, you've not got a seat for next season, as if he was trying to show something that he should have been shown at the start of the season. Gasly, we know he's got talent, and maybe the car is obviously hindering him. But do you think AlphaTauri should be a lot further up than this? The Red Bull B team, and if we look at something like Racing Point and Merck, although they're not A team, B team, I just feel that AlphaTauri is completely underperforming against where they have the potential to. I know there's separation between the teams, but a lot of that car is Red Bull, and next year even more of the car is going to be Red Bull.
I mean, my opinion of AlphaTauri's season is they were getting better and better and better, and I see them next year pushing for 5th and 6th position. Right? I see them beating Ferrari, because I feel they were getting better. No. All right. I like to bash Ferrari, but I really do see Ferrari's problems not getting any better next year, because it's the same car. They haven't got much to do. They can't do much to it. I don't see them having that extra little bit. I mean, you've got Gasly and you've got Charles Leclerc, and Charles is better, but his car lets him down. And I think the way that they're developing this Red Bull Aston Martin Tag Heuer, Honda engine, whatever you want to call it, whatever they're calling it for next year, because they haven't got a proper name for it yet. They're still working on that. I see them really pushing for that further place up the slot. They got 109. They could have had a lot more points this year if Danny Kvyat had managed to stay on track a couple of times. They would have had more points, definitely.
I personally
would give them a C for this year.
Paul, what's your thoughts on an overall score for them for the year?
I would go with C. I think I can't see them finishing above Ferrari next year.
Well, we'll come with that. Look, I think AlphaTauri vastly underperformed this year. The potential in that car and how much it's actually a Red Bull is, I think, a damn sight more than they're willing to admit. And next year, there's even more it is going. I mean, the whole rear end is Red Bull. And maybe the car's not as easy to drive as we like to think. But I think, actually, where AlphaTauri, although they were improved the second half of the year, they should have been up there fighting for third and fourth. And as a second team to Red Bull, we heard it throughout where Albon kept complaining about them racing them so hard, and I think that's what they need. They need to be up there in third and fourth, and that midfield battle is just ripe for AlphaTauri to come in with a car that should be in that midfield. We'll give them a C. I would personally give them a D because I think they underperformed in comparison to where they should have, but you two have gave them Cs. So AlphaTauri, a C for next year. Do you think Tsunoda's got to come in and set the heather alight in that AlphaTauri, Paul?
No.
No?
I think it'll just be as much the same as Kvyat. I can't see him coming in and bagging loads and loads of points.
I think he'll impress. I think he'll come in and actually, he's got to give Gasly a run for his money. I think especially in qualifying. Derek?
I've watched him in F2 this year. Yep. And he smashes his way through the field, and he's a much better driver than Marzipan. So I'm not being derogatory. Yes, I am. I really do see him being, and I'll see him outperform him definitely with no problem at all. And I see.
Do you think he'll beat Gasly?
And Gasly will vie off each other.
Yeah,
I think there'll be turn and turn about with them too. I think 1 week one will do well, the next week the other one will do well, and the other one will back them up. So if one's ninth, the other will be 10th, or if one's 13th, the other will be 14th. I see them being very, very close together.
Right. Okay. Well, Derek, we'll give you another opportunity here to bash Ferrari. Ferrari's season, they finished 6th, 131 points. Leclerc finished 8th with 98 points, and Vettel 13th with 33 points. Now, he's been replaced by Sainz. Ferrari's main problem stemmed from this engine issue that we keep going on about, and we've spoken about, and we've had a podcast all on its own about how they bypass the fuel flow sensor, which is the most common. Or the consensus is that is the view that they bypass the fuel sensor with a pulsed fuel pump. And thus, we have two fuel sensors, one that's encoded to the FIA and one which the teams obviously can view. This up-and-coming season, Ferrari have developed a new engine. They will have reworked their aero and spent a lot more money than the budget cap would have allowed, but the budget cap wasn't a hard ceiling. It was only a guide for this year. So I think Ferrari will have thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, at this, especially with the fear of an engine freeze coming through if Honda stroke Red Bull get their way. So Ferrari will have thrown everything at this. Leclerc probably outdrove the car, Derek. That's fair to say. And Vettel just was on the beach the whole year.
Yeah, from the day he announced his official retirement from Ferrari.
Which was Ferrari's choice, by the way.
Just turn up and...
I mean, that wasn't his choice, it was Ferrari's doing.
I think Ferrari have shot themselves more times in the foot than anybody else has managed to. It's been mostly their problems, trying to bypass the fuel meter just to get an edge because they couldn't do it without cheating. And, you know, so I know that's harsh words, but I think that's what it's down to. I think we also should realise that more beluck than management, they managed to get more points than AlphaTauri, or else they would have been further down the constructors. Charles Leclerc vastly outperformed the status of the car. He did a fantastic job, and I'll give him that. But I'm sorry, he's in the wrong car at the wrong time, and he's going to end up wishing he'd gone somewhere else. But he was part of the Ferrari Academy. He had nowhere else to go. So the mere fact that he's doing what he's doing just is a testament to him being an excellent driver. And I think next year, with Sainz at the side of him, who has got a little bit more experience, will be
a good challenge worth waiting for.
But I still say they have a chance of finishing seventh next year because of the car letting them down again.
If Paul, would you agree with that? If Ferrari don't get their act together on this engine, if they haven't improved that in the aero, can you see them finishing sixth, seventh again this year? Even with the new and improved driver lineup?
I can't see them finishing seventh. I thought, look, Leclerc was Ferrari's saving grace last year. If it wasn't for him, they would have been down behind the seventh place behind AlphaTauri. I think with Sainz in the car, I think he will score points. I can't see them finishing any lower than sixth, but I can see them pushing for fifth. If they get their act together and they do put an improved engine out, then definitely Leclerc and Sainz will both score points for Ferrari.
I agree with you on that. Leclerc has been their saving grace and is the future, and thus he got his extended contract. Sainz coming in, do you think this year coming, 2021 for Ferrari, is really all about steadying the ship?
It's about not doing any worse than it did this year, not going back any further. Keeping it steady until 2022 when the...
I think Ferrari will have 2022 circled in the calendar as the year they return to the top. I don't think it'll happen because I think the other teams are going to be also circling 22. Everybody from Williams to Red Bull to Merck are all eyeing 22 as another opportunity to stick it to the rest of the teams. And I think, unfortunately, Ferrari have been overconfident. That engine thing that they'd been working on for however long it was, because it wasn't just 2019. I believe it goes back further than that. For 2017, 2018 and 2019, those three seasons, they had improved on the power side and were challenging for what was the championship on 17 and 18, if it was different. Bad decisions on and off the track, strategy-wise, it would have been a hell of a close-run thing. But now, after the clarification, we know that Ferrari and other drivers in various different podcasts and news outlets have said it was cheating. It's not just us saying that. They bypassed the fuel flow sensor. It was against the rules. I don't think you can call it anything else when they knew what they were doing. But with that driver lineup of Leclerc and Sainz next season, I think they'll be pushing for fifth and fourth, maybe even third, because if they've gotten their act together, the engine will do so much for those particular drivers. Sainz doesn't want to be there for 2 years and then get kicked back out as somebody else comes through, especially Schumacher is going to be breathing down his collar and Ferrari can't wait to get him into actually that car. So I think Sainz is lucky if he gets two seasons out of the Ferrari, and Leclerc they see as the prodigal son has returned in the way forward. Once they've got Leclerc and Schumacher as that lineup, Ferrari will be up for a world championship, I'm sure. So maybe not 22, but 23. How would you score Ferrari's season?
It's got to be an E.
An E? Yep. Derek, an F for you?
F, definitely an F. Well, come on, it's Ferrari. Standards have dropped considerably. So by their standards, even they would say they'd had an F season.
I'd give them a G if we could, because it's what they deserve for cheating the crap out of the sport. And then no admitting to it, and the FIA covering it up and all that nonsense. So that's how we viewed Ferrari's season. Next in the championship, Renault with Cyril Abibbe, the obnoxious person.
Cyril Meatball.
Right, well, Renault, fifth in the championship. They did a lot better points-wise, 181 points. They were vying for third quite a bit of the season, ups and downs. Ricciardo on 119 points, came fifth in the Drivers' Championship, so it's a decent performance there. Ocon, 12th on 62, but clear that Ricciardo outperformed the younger driver. Next season, they've got Ricciardo leaving, Alonso returning, Hooray! And changing the name to Alpine, which is basically Renault's luxury car division, although I've never seen one in the flesh. Paul, let's come to you first. Renault, how do you view their season? How did the...
Very darkly.
Yeah, I can't see much, to be honest. It started off poor and got better and better as the season went on. Ricardo, as you said, vastly...
They did develop the car quite well, didn't they? I think a lot of it came for the engine side, though. I think they achieved leaps and bounds in the engine side to help things.
Yeah. Ricardo vastly outperformed Ocon. I think all round it turned out to be a decent season for them when it started off looking like it could be quite a poor one.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that we're still in the hunt for third place right to the death says a lot.
Very true.
A lot of that was obviously down to Ricardo. Was it two podiums he managed, wasn't it?
Yeah, it had some great performances. Ocon always got his podium as well in Bahrain in the second race there. Through maybe more luck than anything else, but he was in the right place at the right time. Renault's performance actually over the space of the year was actually pretty good. I felt like all the teams, although they had breakdowns, etc., they didn't seem to get in as much trouble as some of the teams that actually finished ahead of them. And I think Ricardo gave the team it made the team feel a lot better than it actually was for them finishing fifth. And I think next year, the driver lineup, Ocon is going to get monstered, I feel, even by Alonso coming in after his two-year break. The change of the name, maybe it's clearly a marketing thing, but I think they should have just stayed with Renault. I don't know why they're changing that. But Alonso coming into the team is huge. I don't know what your guys' take on Alonso is, but I think Alonso coming back into the sport, Alonso wants to prove something. He didn't get the opportunity with the McLaren and the Honda engine that he had hoped for. And I think Alonso is coming back probably hungrier than 90% of the grid. Money that they've spent on him, I'm not entirely sure how much, but if it helps him sell cars, great, go for that. But I think Alonso is going to have such an impact on the field and the sport. I can only see it as a positive.
I think if they keep developing that car, like you say, like they did throughout the season this year, I think if they can keep that up with Alonso coming back into the car, I think they could vastly improve and will definitely be in the hunt for that third place again.
Derek, what do you make of the end of season test, the young driver test? Alonso came in and the FIA says, yeah, it's cool. Alonso can come in and drive the car because he's been out of the car for X amount of time. He came in, he was putting in lap times that were better than what Ricardo or Ocon had done previously in the car. But for somebody that's been out that length of time and coming in, I think it goes to show what he's got skill-wise, even at his age. Derek's going to disagree with us.
No, I'm not. I'm going to say, Alonso, yes, he got 3 days' worth of extra knowledge of the track before he went out on the young driver test, because he drove on the Friday, the Saturday and the Sunday in his 2005 championship winning Renault car that he...
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I also think that you've got to remember that before he went to McLaren, he was at Ferrari and didn't do anything at Ferrari except for the famous immortal lines, Alonso is faster than you. So, I mean, that doesn't help. He had a reputation the last time he was at Renault of having things to help him get to where he got to, the two championships. And,
my stamina, yep.
You know, so, I mean, I must say, I like Alonso, but, and I liked him at McLaren because I think he tried.
Yeah.
I think that's the right word there. He had a car that was decent. He tried to do what he could do, but didn't quite get there because McLaren was on the way south at that point.
Yeah.
And I see him standing with Ocon, and, you know, Ocon has been kept as a second fiddle.
Yeah, right, that team is definitely Team Alonso.
Team Alonso. And I think they're pinning their hopes on him to take them forward. And I think it might, again, be another one of these, well, do we really need it? You know, are we going to give a car that's going to give them sort of second, third again? No. And I think they're going to struggle. And I think they'll struggle with Alonso. And Alonso will get frustrated. And I can see that they're not being that. But as regards this year for Renault, I think Renault have done very well. I think they've done very well with Ricciardo. And I think Ocon tried, but again,
he just doesn't have the chops.
He doesn't have the experience. He doesn't have everything for the for this job at the moment.
Ocon is highly regarded, Derek, but I just can't see him going anywhere. And with Alonso coming in next season,
he hasn't got the experience. And he had, you know, a good background, but it's not enough to keep him going forward.
No.
And I think he's missed out. He missed out because he had a year out.
True.
And then he came in to replace Hülkenberg. So,
look, I think Renault, if nothing else, they're either A, since they've now committed to the sport, I think Renault are actually looking to 22, and that's been the rumours and the rumblings. 22 is when Renault will win a championship again. They believe that. They are 100% confident of it. Alonso's in the car this season, so that come next year, he is up to speed. I think they'll replace Ocon at the end of this year. At 2022, they will bring in somebody new, and Ocon will be out the door and maybe out of Formula One. But Alonso is who they're pinning their hopes on. At his age, it's a bit of a long ball, long pass.
I think it's a one-season gamble. A one-season gamble.
No, I think for 22.
Next season's just him just getting used to the car. And what they're pinning their hopes on it is that Alonso will come to the front in the new style car in 22 and take the lead there and get the championship for Renault.
You heard it here first.
There's a bold prediction.
Score for the season, Paul. What rating would you give Renault?
I'm actually going to go with a B.
A B? Mm-hmm. Derek?
C.
C? I'm going to go with Paul. I'm going to give them a B. I think they developed the car. Ricciardo done a good job in there and actually dragged it. And they unfortunately, with Ocon as their second driver, they missed out on third because of Ocon, not because of Ricciardo's poor performances. But yeah, developed the car, did a good job. I think they've got a great lineup for next season. Derek, Aston Martin is going to be the team you're going to be looking at next year. But at this moment in time, they're still racing point up to the end of the year. Fourth in championship. Fourth with that car. 195 points. Perez, fourth with 125 points. Lance Stroll, 11th with 75 points. There's the reason they finished fourth. Hülkenberg came in 15th with 10 points in two races, although one of them he didn't really take part. But, Sebastian Vettel for next season, rebranding the team, Aston Martin. They've got the Merc engine in the back. How much of Merc have they copied for next season? Who knows? But Racing Point should have had third in the bag mid-season onwards. Let down by Stroll, who had a disastrous second half of the season. And the only reason they finished fourth was because Perez drove these socks off the second half of the season, got fourth in the championship. Would you say they finished well, but do you think, considering the car they had, Derek, a good or a bad season for Racing Point?
They had a missed opportunity season.
Oh,
that's
yes.
What they had.
Yeah.
They should have done a lot better. They should have done with the car they had up testing.
Yeah,
second was up for grabs. Was up for grabs against Red Bull themselves. And I'm sorry, just changing the Aston Martin from one car to another car. I think they've missed their opportunity. I think next year they could be a third or fourth team next year.
Paul, would you agree with that? Or do you see them, once they've changed Aston Martin, do you think that they're going to be competing up there for second, competing with Red Bull again, or do you see them going backwards and, as Derek said, a missed opportunity this season?
A definite missed opportunity. I see them being either where they finished this year or maybe a place back. The interesting thing will be, what did you say Perez scored this year?
125 points.
125. It'll be interesting to see if Vettel can do better than that.
That is the thing. Sebastian Vettel, in a car with a Merc engine and as close to a Merc as you can get without being in a Mercedes, how do you think he's going to go?
Like a rocket.
Yeah. Vettel has went from being a bit of a villain at Ferrari and when he was at Red Bull winning everything with his finger and... Vettel has now became the loved up person of the grid. He is a really nice guy, and that is up and down the paddock. I really want to see Vettel actually do well, so that we can turn around and say, yeah, Ferrari, if you go to Ferrari, Ferrari will squash you down, they'll throw you away at the first opportunity, etc., etc., and it'll just go to show that Vettel is actually the better driver. He will prove all the doubters who said that he was on a break this season on the beach, myself included. I just hope he comes back actually nice and strong and we get to see the Vettel of old. Do you think that's going to happen? Derek says he'll go like a rocket. Paul, do you think he's going to get his finger
out? I'm not so sure. I don't know. But I also think where they've went wrong was I think they got rid of the wrong driver. They should have got rid of Stroll. And they should have kept Perez and had Perez and Vettel. And then I would definitely be saying they're going to be right up in the mix for third place. I think keeping Stroll, obviously we all know the reasons why Stroll's still at the team. Yeah. And that was never going to happen. Yeah, that was never going to happen. But for me, that's where they've gone wrong for next year. And that's why I can't see them improving on where they are.
Stroll bombed the latter half of the season. It wasn't all his fault. I get that. There were some incidents and accidents, but bad luck follows these drivers that just ain't up to par. And they wind up in these situations that they have bumps and bashes and crashes. But it's partly their lack of skill and partly because they've wound up in the midfield because of the lack of skill. And Stroll was the reason that Racing Point didn't achieve it. We've got to actually say, though, Perez did an outstanding performance over the space of the season in a car that certainly let him down, engine failures, etc. He was out for a couple of races with COVID, so he had a lot of potential to actually finish, maybe even in third in the championship, and Racing Point would have been fine. Racing Point lost the 15 points for the Tracing Point thing and the brake ducts at the start of the season, but I think the movement at Aston Martin next season, maybe a breath of fresh air with Vettel arriving, maybe Stroll will get his act together, but over the space of the season, I can only give them really, I think, a D, because they so underperformed against the potential of that car. Derek, what would you give them?
I'd give them a C, and hopefully we see a better year next year.
Yep. Paul?
I would go with Derek and give them a C.
Give them a C.
I think Perez was unlucky in races, lost a lot of points for them, but yeah, I think overall a C.
Do you think the future's bright, the future's Vettel for them, though?
I don't know.
We will wait and see. Hopefully.
I have to wait.
Hopefully. Yeah. Paul, we come to you next. For McLaren, finished third in the championship, 202 points. Sainz in sixth with 105 points. Norris in ninth with 97 points. Now, Sainz is obviously going to Ferrari, and they've got Ricciardo coming in, and we've said it numerous times. I think McLaren have got one of the most exciting driver lineups for next season. And they're also moving for the Renault engine, which got them at third, so we can't really bash the Renault engine, but it just goes to show that if your Renault engine-powered car beats the Renault Works team, there's something crap going on at the Renault Works team. McLaren made it work. A Merc engine in that car, Ricciardo in there. I mean, Ricciardo coming across and having a car that drives in a Merc. We've got Vettel going to a car that's going to be a Merc-based engine. How do you see, or how would you rate McLaren's performance for this season and looking forward to next season?
I think it was a good season for McLaren. I think they'd done as well as they could do. They weren't going to ever finish any higher than third. Next season, I think they are absolute stick-ons to finish third again.
Yeah, I would completely agree. Derek?
Yes, definitely. They did very, very well this year. They got it together. They had a good team in both Lando Norris and Carlos Sainz. I don't think the dynamic is quite the same now that Ricciardo's moved in. I think it might take a bit of development. I think it might take a bit of time. I don't think we'll see this sort of comedy duo that we had with Sainz and Norris. I think it's going to be a more... I think Ricciardo sort of like I'm more mature now. I'm not that silly person who drinks out of his shoe all the time. I think he's sort of thinking, you know, I'm going to try and reinvent myself as a more serious, smiley person than the sort of slapdash. But as regards McLaren, I see them doing very well for next year. And yes, I do think they'll be in for third place, definitely.
Definitely. I'd podiums. Ricciardo in that car, I think this is the driver. I know he was at Red Bull, but next season, that McLaren has been developed over the space of the season, and we can see that both of the drivers scored good points to get them to third. But I think Ricciardo in that car with the Merc engine is what we've all been waiting for. I think he'll be able to challenge both the Red Bulls, and if not just the Red Bulls, I think actually even the Mercedes. Bottas, well, can't we speak about him? I think Ricciardo is in there. Norris, I think, is a great driver. He's learning. And I think by the time we get to 22, Norris is going to be the package at McLaren as well. I think actually McLaren, that really, getting Ricciardo is just a coup. I think that's the best lineup. And as you said, Paul, they're stuck on for third at least. And I think they're going to give Red Bull. Red Bull only just going to be looking forward to Mercedes. They're going to have to be looking over their shoulder at McLaren as well. I think it's a great sign, a great team, and really looking forward to their Merc engine in there next year, and let alone what they'll then do in 22. My scoring for them, I'm going to give them a B. I think they did great, developed the car, the driver lineup was great, and they've set up next year for themselves and put themselves in such a strong position. Paul, what would you give them?
I'd go B as well, yeah.
Derek?
A-.
A-? I never mentioned it.
Can I change to a B+, then? I didn't know we could put a B+ and A-.
They really did outperform themselves, and I think they held it together, and their two team members gave mature performances over the space of the year, and I think they should be well proud of that. Definitely, definitely looking forward to McLaren next year. Again, Derek, we come to you now. Red Bull, this is going to be a sore one for Albon, I feel, but second in the championship, 319 points. Verstappen scored 214 of those points. Albon, seventh on 105. Verstappen, third in the championship. Next year, Perez is coming in to replace Albon with a 12-month contract to see what happens there. Albon's been pushed to a test role. And again, Red Bull's issues more rely on the engine freeze going forward, and I think we'll hear more about that as the year goes by. But Red Bull's performance for this year, Derek, highs and lows, really. I mean,
I think Red Bull, or should we call it Team Verstappen, definitely performed well, did Verstappen. Verstappen, you know, you could put him in, same as Hamilton, you could put him in a monk float and he'd still have a blooming good go at overtaking people. I think the team is definitely geared. I think Albon had a lot of bad luck. Most of it of his own making, but he did have a lot of bad luck. I think he'd have done better staying in AlphaTauri for another 12 months. We've said this before.
Yeah,
I'll just say it quickly now that he should have stayed where he was, and he probably would have been coming up into that seat now instead of Perez. They'd have pulled him up, taken him now, and said thank you very much, and Perez would have been out on his ear. Perez going to the team, I see him very similar sort of fortunes to when he went to McLaren. And although full of good intent, full of good promise, I think it's still Team Verstappen, and Verstappen will be in charge of that team, and he will get the first shouts on everything, pits, changes, everything like that. Verstappen will be the number one driver, and I think Perez is just waiting for 2022 for whatever deal he's got for 2022, and that's what he's going to do. So as regards of Red Bull this season, I think a C+. C+ is all I'm going to give them, because it wasn't a team effort. It was a one-sided effort. There wasn't enough changed over to the Albon side of the garage to get him up and get him to be that wingman that Verstappen needed. they weren't bringing him forward enough and giving him enough help to get him into that position.
Yeah, I mean, that's off your points. The team did feel very one-sided to Verstappen, and Albon seemed to just be left high and dry. Paul, what was your kind of take on Red Bull for the season?
I think it's just geared up for Max at that team, isn't it? And I think, you know, when Horner was coming out and saying about Albon, it's a tricky car to drive, and that, I think that pretty much said it all, that, yeah, they weren't developing it for him. They weren't helping him very much. So I think he's been hard done to, but I still think they've made the right move by replacing him for the year.
I think so Perez as well. Yeah.
I mean the hope is that Perez will get that other Red Bull up into the mix and help Max. Because that's what was missing this year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Having one car racing two is just, it's never gonna work. So hopefully that'll change next year.
On this news, Hamilton's actually turned around and said, we're going to have to, with Perez in that car, we are going to have to be watching Red Bull like hawks, because with the two cars there, they can then block us pit stops and do X, Y, and Z to actually make the racing a lot harder. So it does restrict what they can do strategy-wise. I think Red Bull's young driver programme, they need to rethink the whole process in some way, shape or form, because it's they're bringing through mediocre drivers, and they obviously go, oh, but we've got Vettel and we've got Ricciardo and we've got Max. That's fine, but they've got so many drivers coming through, they've wasted I don't know how many seasons trying to get somebody in that car that can drive it as good as Max. Max is alone to himself. That's not going to happen. They need people in there.
At what point are they going to get one of these young guys and say, regardless, we're going to stick with him and give them more than a season or half a season, whatever it's been with Gasly and Albon? At some point, they have to put someone in that car that they're planning to have in it.
Yeah, long term.
For the foreseeable future.
I think with Albon, that was the plan. That they did give him more than half a season, but then this season's obviously different to others. They had no one to put into the car earlier than the end of the season. So I think it is the right decision, putting Perez in there, keeping Albon in a test role, because when we get to 22, the cars will have changed so much that I think they can put Albon back in the car and they'll get improved performances from him come 22. C+, that was what Derek gave them. Paul, what would you like to give them for this season?
I go with a C.
Yeah, I'll say a C-, which averages a C. I think Red Bull missed a trick, and that's down to their driver lineup, their driver school. Again, they've got the Honda engine issue looming, which they will have to fix this year in some way, shape or form. Do you think they'll get that ratified? Do you think they'll get the engine freeze that they're after so that they don't have to spend money trying to develop that engine, Derek?
Possibly. But they're also struggling for a title sponsor as well, aren't they? They haven't got a title sponsor for the car other than Red Bull.
Well, because they lost Aston Martin. Apparently that deal was worth $10 million. I mean, it's Red Bull. There must be a multitude of companies that they want to be associated with them. Right, so then after Red Bull, we get to the winners of the World Championship, driver and constructors. We come to Mercedes, first in the championship, 573 points, totally monstered Red Bull on that one. Hamilton came in first, 347 points, Bottas second on 223 points. And there's been some changes at Mercedes. They have sold some of the company. Ineos is now a 33% holder. Wolf must be the 34% holder. I believe he's the main stakeholder. And Mercedes has got the other 33%. So as it stands, they are still the Merckx work team. As far as we're aware, Hamilton will be signing a new contract as of the start of the year, but there doesn't seem to be any rush. But here's a question, though. If Wolf's obviously got part of the team, Ineos has got the other, if Merckx decided to sell, do you think Hamilton would maybe step up the other 33% to remain kicking about in the sport?
Yeah, if he's given the opportunity, I'm sure he'd take a third ownership of the team. Will his interest still be there, though? That's the question. Yeah.
Paul, how did you see Mercedes' season? Obviously, We kind of knocked them too much because they done what they needed to win the championship. Came back with a car that they expected was going to be fighting Ferrari for the championship. So they over-engineered it and came with DAS and completely blew everybody away at the the Spanish test. How do you see Mercedes' season, Paul? How was it for you?
Well, you can't really say anything bad about it, can you? Romped it. Hamilton done what Hamilton does. So far ahead of everybody else. Bottas. It's a bit of a disaster for him. The last half of the season was a bit of a nightmare. But other than that, it's the only real downside to their season.
Derek, would you agree with Paul on that one?
Yes, I would. I'd agree with Paul. Bottas let the team down. I think Merck should have decided to cut the ties with Bottas. They should have gone with George Russell. They should have trusted the gut and gone with him. I mean, I know they got an example of it because of Lewis getting the COVID bug. And then they found out just how good George Russell would be in their car, and he would vastly outperform Bottas. I mean, if given chance, given rubber the green and things didn't go the way they did for him in that race, but if he'd have got half the chance, he would have wiped the floor with Bottas in every chance.
I was going to say, if Russell was in there, do you think Russell would still finish second in the championship to Hamilton? Give him a closer run, yeah?
Yes, yeah. And give him a good run for his money. I mean, it would improve Hamilton. Hamilton would come to the top for the, you know, he's got another couple of seasons as Hamilton, I think, another couple of seasons, maybe two, three. And then he's definitely on his way to whatever he's decided to do with the rest of his life.
I think Hamilton thrives on the challenge of the competition.
I
see what you're saying. I think Hamilton's got more than that. I think come 22, Hamilton may make a decision to stay in the sport longer, because he's bound to see Vettel, Alonso, Raikkonen still being in this sport and still competing. But I think actually the draw of what's out with Formula One will be the thing that will take him away, not him getting bored with the sport or actually losing credentials and dropping his performance. But I think actually once we're into 22, I think Mercedes will remain relatively dominant because they've got the best people. But as for Bottas' performance, Bottas comes in, and we've said it all season long, he comes in at the start of the season, shows great potential for the first two or three races, then the head goes down. His head's gone by the fourth race of the season, Hamilton's gone. And he just, every time Bottas sticks his head up and you think, oh, he's maybe... Bottas just beats him again in qualifying, then monsters him in the race. And I think you're right, Paul. Bottas, his performance over the rest of the season, especially after the midway point, just got worse and worse and worse. And some people say he's unlucky. And I don't think it's that. I think it is actually. It's just a skill set. He's got to a point where Bottas is performing at 100% of what Bottas can do. And unfortunately, Hamilton's got another extra 20% headroom on what he's doing. Look, Mercedes obviously taking the championship for the seventh time in a row, but seven on the trot. Hamilton taking his championship and equaling Michael Schumacher. We can only say it's been positives for Mercedes, even though there's been blips at certain races and Grand Prix. And if nothing else, if it wasn't for the blips, we'd be sitting here talking about a whitewash. We would be saying Mercedes won every race, they qualified pole for every race, they've done this, they've done that. And although that is good for Mercedes, it's not good for the sport. Sport being the other sort of side of this is football. When a team dominates for seven seasons, it's great if you support that team, you're in that team, but it's not good for the sport overall. It needs variation, it needs change, and this again is a systematic problem with Formula One and has been now since the 2000s. We saw it with Red Bull, we saw it with Ferrari, we've now had it with Mercedes. There needs to be a solution to it. Great for Mercedes, great they're performing at that level, but the races are getting worse, they're more boring, the other teams aren't actually catching up. And although we have to give Mercedes an A clearly for their team performance over the space of the season, because they've ticked all the boxes, as a sport, Formula One is a D, you know. Yes. Got to give them a D.
I think it probably wouldn't even be that bad if Merck were still completely dominating, but they had two drivers that were at least competing with each other. Yeah. The fact that it's just a one-horse race makes that even worse. You know, there's apart from the midfield battle last season was entertaining and good. You know, it was close. It was, and it went on right to the wire. With one guy just racing away every single week, it's just It's not entertaining. It's not entertaining.
Mercedes performance for the year. I've given them an A. Derek,
B plus.
Oh. Paul,
because of Bottas.
Well, true. Paul,
I think it's got, for me, it's got to be an A, because at the end of the day, they won both the titles, and that's ultimately that's their aim. Yeah, Bottas didn't perform.
It's the same football. Look, they can only beat the people that are put in front of them. That's the thing. And it's the rest of the field, the rest of the teams that need to improve. That's the bottom line. You know, they expected a challenge for Ferrari to come on strong this year, and it never materialised. And Red Bull were one driver effectively in their team. But you're correct. Bottas's performance this season made Formula One probably to a certain extent the most boring season to watch in some regards, although we had new tracks and so on and so forth, and it's been entertaining in places. Without that sort of niggle, Hamilton and Rosberg, that kind of season, those kind of seasons, we don't have that with Bottas, because Bottas can't pull his weight. For next season, how do we see Mercedes, guys? More of the same? The car's only changing enough to really make a big difference. Maybe a resurgent Ferrari, Red Bull get their act together, maybe a challenge. Or are we going to see Mercedes taking an eighth and Hamilton taking an eighth?
I think ultimately Mercedes will win.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely agree with that.
The other three things we're going to talk about is the tracks that you're looking forward to this season. I'm looking forward to, obviously, Canada and Australia. New teams on the new track, Zandvoort, gone back there for first time in a long time, and hopefully back to Portimao. That'd be good. But Zandvoort, I think, is going to throw up an interesting race, and the reprofiling of the track, banking, etc. And for what I've seen online, that's when I'm looking forward to next season. Paul, track you're looking forward to, or tracks?
I'm looking forward to that first weekend back in Australia. Because that's what you always look forward to at this time of the year, is that first race. And it's normality just to be back in Australia and kicking off proper season again.
Derek?
Looking forward to Abu Dhabi not being boring. I'm hoping that we've got something to watch when we get there. So I know it sounds like a bit of a strange one to say you're looking forward to it, but it's got to be summer. If we can get to that race, and we have a race when we get there, that'll be saying the season's complete, because after this year's performance there, they've got to have done something to get us a better performance at that place.
Derek, the one thing I have missed this year is getting up early and watching Formula 1 at 5 and 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning when it's coming from further afield, which is weird to say, but it seems to be just part of the season. You know, when you get up first thing on a Sunday morning, you've watched the race and you're tucking into your breakfast at 9 o'clock in the morning, a wee bait and roll at 9 a.m. It's just... that's the stuff that we miss as fans. Driver of the year, guys. I know Hamilton won the championship, but that was kind of shoe-in, and if you had any, we'd be questioning why not. So out of the other drivers, driver of the year, Paul, who would you give that to?
So you're saying I can't give it to Hamilton? I've got
no, you can't get to Hamilton, because that's the obvious. You've got to get to somebody who has outperformed the vehicle or outperformed the team or made you go, ooh...
I think for me, I'd probably go, if outperforming the vehicle, it's got to be Charles Leclerc in that Ferrari. But Perez impressed me this year.
Perez, good show. Derek?
Russell or Norris? I'll go with Russell first.
I think you're right, yeah. Russell's a good shout. I definitely outperformed the machinery by quite a bit. And Norris, I think, is an up-and-coming. I'd give a shout to Ricardo for what he's done in the car, but I'd probably have to go with Perez as well. He's win, and he's really got the bit between his teeth, and I think, although he maybe didn't outperform the car in some regards. He got the car to a place that just showed what it was capable of, and unfortunately where they wound up. But it's a tough call. I'll go with Perez as well. I think Perez managed to pull that out. Guys, the 2021 end of season headlines. The first one I want to go with is the FIA will announce that Formula One and Formula E will become one in 2026.
You are joking, aren't you?
No.
Okay. Right. Right. So I think Formula One and Formula E.
They will amalgamate them.
Yeah, all right. I was going to say amalgamate them. Formula E will become Formula One, and Formula One will become a dinosaur. That's what you're trying to say.
It won't become a dinosaur. I just think that they're going to be talking about a new engine setup come 2026 onwards at the end of the Concorde Agreement. So we've got these engines to 2025.
Okay.
They've been overly expensive. We've not got any new engine manufacturers coming into the series. So they'll go one of two ways. They'll either go high-tech but cheap, which would be battery packs and that sort of side to it. And in what is effectively 5 years' time, those battery packs and the capacity that they can hold should be at a point where we can actually race for 90 minutes flat out on a Formula One track without having to mess about with them. Hopefully.
Yeah.
They could go with hydrogen fuel cells. That's the other one that's been batted about. The cheapest, quickest, easiest option that Formula One won't take is we just have V8s back. A good V8 engine, but they won't do that. That's pie in the sky stuff. So that's the only way forward. I can see it. I want Formula One to be the pinnacle, but Formula E and the technology that Formula E is going to provide to these other manufacturers, that's the only thing I can see they will bring the two together, and they'll maybe actually push into a bigger series. It might be that we have the same as LMP1 and GT, maybe racing around the same track at the same time, but I think Formula One has gotten its head that it's got to go green as green can be.
The whole world's going to go that way eventually, so it's probably, you know, it's a stick on that it's going to happen at some point. Whether it'll be as soon as that, I don't know, but it will happen.
Derek,
how many do you want?
Ideally three, but you let us know.
Okay. All right, ready. Hamilton retires at the end of this season to go to extreme sport racing as a team manager and driver. We're here at Albert Park, unfortunately announcing that there will be no racing this year in Formula One, and we were looking forward to the 2022 season back here at Albert Park in 2022. And Red Bull take the championship, a massive win for them, followed by McLaren in second. There you go.
Wow. Just taking all my headlines.
Yes!
None of these are serious, clearly. Paul, here's one for you, just for you. Ferrari take the world championship.
I was going to get my next one as well.
Not quick enough.
I'm having that. You're not taking that one off me.
Well, the thing is, if Ferrari did take the world championship next season,
they were the only team that turned up.
There's that, but also we will just be like, how have they got around the rules this time? They've tainted any future victories.
Sandra has just informed me that the first Formula E race in Santiago has been cancelled due to COVID restrictions and all the rest of it. And that was the one that was supposed to take place in January. So the cancellations begin. That's the first race of the first championships this year has been cancelled. So
I think Formula One have got this cracked in the sense that they're bubbles and so on and so forth. So they'll go, and we will have 23 races next season. Whether we have fans or not is neither here nor there, but we will have 23 races.
Just one small smidgen of a problem. Mm-hmm. Any teams that are based in the UK will not be allowed to travel.
They'll get an exemption for that. They've got enough time. Formula One will wrangle an exemption because that was the same when they went to Dubai and Bahrain. There was exemptions put in place for teams and stuff. You can go to the airport and you can get a COVID test for £40 and you get the result messaged to you in 30 minutes. So with all of those things in place, unless the strains get worse, we've got the vaccine coming, which should cover most of the strains, because even with these variants, it's 99% the same thing. And one of the companies did say, look, if we've got a new variant, we can come up with a new new design on the drug within 6 weeks because it's a plug and play, and we just put in obviously the variation and the change, and it's not affecting it too much. Look, this season was never the season that we hoped or wanted in regards to what's happened, but we did get 17 races, which was a damn sight better than we expected the middle of June. And I think we've got to take our hat off to Formula One and Liberty Media for actually giving us a season to actually have watched, yeah, spoke about, the teams raced, and we were able to do a podcast. And I think next year, hopefully things will improve. If they don't, we're still going to get a Formula One season. We're still going to do a podcast. We just hope that things get better before they get worse. Or we're going to be sitting here having the same conversation next year. Look, I just want to thank Derek for obviously podcasting with us this year, Paul for joining us for the latter half. Hopefully going forward, Paul can make it on a more continued basis. And I want to thank anybody that's listened to our podcast over the space of the year. We've had 2,000 downloads of the podcasts. And for this being our first year doing this, I just want to thank yous for joining us. Merry Christmas to everyone. Have a happy new year. Stay safe. There's not really anything else for me to say except it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. Take care. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All the best for 2021. Hopefully see you at Albert Park very, very soon.
Oh, is it my turn now, is it? I'd switched off. I can't do that. No, it's been great fun doing it. Thanks for having me. And hopefully see you all again soon.
This has been a Beta Cat production for DNF1.